It's the Book of the Week.
Good morning. Welcome to the Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club for what may well be the last time. But it's not, because we're moving. It's a Sunday at 6 p.m. We're getting our own show. So there we go. It's all good, isn't it? Yes, we're going to have a whole hour to ourselves, 6 p.m. on a Sunday. I'll be really excited to do it, actually. It's going to be great. But right now, as we're not going to be here next Thursday, we're going to have our Halloween special earlier. So who else would I have in the studio, honestly? I've got Otto in the studio. Good morning, Otto.
Good morning.
And we've got Jackie in to keep us out of mischief. Maybe.
Don't scare me too much.
Yeah. Oh, we wouldn't do that to you. Yes, we would. So, Halloween, horror writing.
One of the best times of the year.
It is.
Particularly for horror writers, it helps give us ideas, I think. What with the season changing and the rain setting in, it creates a lot of opportunities for us to actually get out pen to paper and start writing.
And does a full moon help as well?
Sometimes. If we can see it through the clouds, yeah.
Well, that's just British weather for you, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I suppose for people who perhaps haven't heard Otto on our programme before, and where on earth have you been? We ought to tell him a little bit about him. So what can we tell him about Otto, Jackie?
Well, Otto is our resident horror expert for Portsmouth Authors Collective. And I know it started, Otto, you've told me before, at a very young age, he developed a love for the classic Hammer horror and B-movies of the 60s and the 70s. But it was during COVID that you started writing horror yourself, I know. And his first novel was The Vampire of Portsmouth, which was 2022, been released. And then that was followed by Sarah's Cats, and more recently, The Old Forest in April 2025, because I know you live in Portsmouth with all your cats. So the love of the occult and horror, that sort of seems to go with the black cat in particular, doesn't it?
It does, although my cats, I have to admit, are tuxedos, so they are black and white. But they sometimes help me with the writing. Generally not by walking over the keyboard, but they try to help.
So what made you choose to write horror, and apart from your earlier interest? Obviously.
I think it's the versatility of what you can do with it. As a genre, it can go in so many different directions. You can pretty much have a free rein imagination-wise as to what you want to do.
But the main thing is, you just like scaring people.
Yes, and myself, hopefully, if I'm writing it. It's depending on the time of day I'm actually writing at.
Does that still happen? Can you? Because if you've written a lot of it, does that still happen that you can shock yourself?
Yes. When I was writing Sarah's Cats in particular, there are certain aspects of the story in it that were quite horrific. So, yeah, I did sort of, after I'd written that, I did take a break for a month without writing anything, just to recover from the process of doing it, finished. But I love it, yes. Mm.
And actually, a lot of people like horror. I was just reading, I think I spoke to you earlier, about the genre in particular, how it's grown. I know in 2022, 2023, that rose by 54%, the horror and ghost story genre. 54% rise in 1 year. That's huge. So it's obviously getting really popular.
Everyone likes to be scared once in a while.
Mm. Well, it's like...
Well, except Jackie.
Yeah. I hate it. If I hear the word horror, I turn the television off immediately. I would not be. But I noticed as well, when I was reading up about it this morning, knowing you were coming in, that there's also a new thing called cozy fantasy. So it's like you get cozy crime. So would you get like cozy horror stories?
I think cozy crime is a new one on me, so I'm suggesting they're like perhaps stories that don't necessarily involve murder. Doing a cozy horror would be quite difficult, I think.
it'd be more scary, wouldn't it?
Possibly. If you put it, the more real life you make the setting, in a way, the more horrific you can make it. That is quite a possibility. Maybe I'll have to try writing one.
Yeah, I just thought it sounded more my thing. It's just this severed limb thing that I can't get my head round. Whereas if you are right, that if you've got if you've got a character that comes across really on the surface quite lovely and nice, and yet underneath they are really despicable, and that goes with a lot of like thrillers and all sorts of other genres. It's more impactful, isn't it, when you're not expecting that reveal?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I'm writing, you know, it's one of these things. I choose the characters carefully, and then I try and create a background for them so that when something does happen, you tend to feel more for their situation than if they, like with perhaps a slasher thing, where you're just killing people in numbers. It becomes a bit more meaningful when something does occur.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're writing any sort of novel and characters, you really got to make your readers care about them.
Yeah.
So you doing that, you have to explain, have to be more than just a horrible person. You want a 3D person on the page, don't you?
Yeah. You want to care about what happens to them. So it's very important. Otherwise, you sort of lose the suspense in a way.
Mm. Well, we probably ought to stop for a bit of music, but I'm going to have to ask you this first. Have you ever scared yourself with your stories?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Particularly if I'm sort of... the idea starts from a dream I've had, you know, it can go that way, so,
But also, do you think I'm a bit scared of where that came from? Because when you're having these awful imaginary horror stories in your head, you think, what... There's something in my head that's produced that. that's what would worry me. When the sun goes down.
So, welcome back, and perhaps I should be trying to do a Vincent Price this morning, I don't know. We're having our Halloween special, and we're settled down, ready to start writing, and Otto's going to tell us, how do we scare the pants off ourselves?
I can only talk about how I plan writing, and I have sort of established a pattern for my ideas now, in that I'll start with a general seed of an idea, so what the basic theme of the story is going to be. And then I'll sort of lay out a chapter-by-chapter guide as to what roughly I want to happen in each chapter for the first five or six chapters. And I tend to do it in not more than that, because I like it to have some organic growth as well. And sometimes when I'm writing, I'll end up creating a change that seems right at the time, and then I want to go with that and continue down that route. So I won't plan too far in advance at the start of it. So I'll start with that, and then I'll go through. Once I've got towards the end, by that point, I pretty much know what the ending's going to be. And again, I then start a chapter by chapter plan of what's going to happen so that I can keep the suspense tense, because you want that to flow really, really well. I mean, I don't tend to stick to a particular genre with my horror writing. There are so many to choose from. I was looking down the list in preparation for this, and you've got supernatural horror, psychological horror, slasher horror, splatter horror, body horror, folk horror, and all these sorts of different areas. But when you look at them, the stories I write tend to contain elements of all of them. But I think probably I would tend to class them quite heavily elements of folk horror in them. So that is when you pick an idea, so be it something like paganism, an ancient folklore, or you come around with an idea of you set an isolated setting. An isolation by itself can be quite frightening.
Here's a strange idea for horror for you then. An author going into a shop trying to work out what genre the book fits into.
That could be quite horrible.
I've seen various ones about their reactions with critics. I think as Vincent Price might come to mind for that one. But you can pick any small idea, anything can come up as to where it comes from, and then it's just developing it from there, putting enough time into creating your characters so that they feel real, and you want the reader to have a real concern about what might happen to them. And also you want to keep the surprise, and you don't want them to know who's going to be killed off, what's going to happen. It's keeping that as a shock that is the hard thing with it.
So even though you're not necessarily planning so far in advance, do you still have ideas of maybe particular things you want to happen to the character?
I usually have main events planned. And it's how it gets to those events that sometimes changes. Or if I've suddenly introduced a character that I think actually they work well together, they might then carry through with the story in and make it work like that. And obviously if you can throw in the odd cat or two, it's also quite good, because I think cats can be heavily implemented into horror.
I think that goes for almost any novel writing, is that you can come up with maybe three characters, four main characters, and then sometimes a minor character comes in but interacts so well with one of the main characters and pushes the plot points forward and adds all the tension that you would want, and then you want to develop that. So they can actually almost turn into main characters.
Yeah, I have done that and had to go back and rewrite some of the start of it to then include them in a more valuable way, so that we also care about that character as well, rather than being aside, because you tend to have several main characters which have the most development, and then you have characters around them. That is quite important in that. It's to that level of organic development is very worthwhile.
I think it's fascinating the way you start off with a character and you don't really know where they're going to end up, and you're getting to know them as you're writing.
You follow the adventure with them, basically. I mean, when I write, everyone's different, but I sort of see it as a film in my head. Maybe because I've seen so many horror films, but I sort of see the actions, I see what's going on, I can see where, you know, the shadows might be, and then I try and convert that into the writing. And that's something I do take quite a bit of time trying to do.
It's also how they affect other people, because it's like a dialogue almost, and that's a constant dialogue between all the characters in any novel you're writing. They've got their own story individually, but it's how they affect other characters in the book. And I think that's the interesting thing, and sometimes that's where the surprises come for me.
Very much so.
That's really interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what, should we have another little bit of music at this point?
Well, yes, don't make it as scary as the other one, though.
Okay, well, I'll try not to make it too scary for you. Boo! Well, have you got one there, Otto?
A track,
yes.
I was thinking of from Friday the 13th, Part 6, Alice Cooper did a wonderful song called He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask.
Ah, okay, let's see if I can find that in the box.
And one interesting thing with some of Alice Cooper's tracks is that the lengths that he will go to get some of the effects for it. And on the Ballad of Dalwood Fry, I've heard that to get the... there's a part where he says, I've got to get out of here. And they actually achieved that by piling every studio chair in the studio on top of him so that he was feeling trapped. And that's when he went into it.
That's dedication.
That is dedication. Welcome back. Have we managed to scare you to death yet? Well, I could try a bit harder then, won't we?
We will. Now, I know Halloween's just round the corner, as we've mentioned. So do you have any suggestions for, you know, must-read horror novels, Otto?
Yes, I do. I mean, some of them you might not be surprised to hear on there, and some of them are ones that have not necessarily received the best public attention, but I think are really, really good stories. So I'm going to start off with two Stephen King ones that I really do love. One is called Lissy's Story, and the other is called Derma Key. One is about an artist where his paintings start having an effect on the real world, which I thought was a really, really cool idea.
Yeah.
Then there's a firm favourite of mine that has been for years, is The Call of Cthulhu by H.P. Lovecraft, which was written back in the 20s now, but still holds its thrill to this day. Coming a bit more modern, there's a book called The Book of Witching by C.J. Cook, which I greatly like. She's a brilliant writer, particularly in the witchcraft field. And, you know, I really enjoyed reading that one, so I had to put that on the list. And again, another more modern horror writer called Adam Neville, who did one called Cunning Folk, which was about a very strange neighbour. I won't. I'm not going to say too much because it spoils it. And then a firm favourite for me, of course, is Clive Barker. He always informed me from Hellraiser onwards, and I'm going to pick from the last book recommendation as The Books of Blood, which are his short stories collections, and they were absolutely fantastic and completely terrifying.
Oh.
Possibly. See, I was going to say that sounds like a good one to read at bedtime, but perhaps not.
Perhaps not. Now, I know you mentioned Stephen King amongst that, and I know that I was reading up on the top 20, and Stephen King has a third of all the books in the top 20 horror. Now, I know you mentioned, I'm really pleased you mentioned some other names there, because he seems to sort of be overwhelming the market.
Well, he's
and always has, really.
He's absolutely fantastic at what he does. He develops a character and you do feel and with them as they go along, which I think is why he's held that spot for so long. But there is so much horror out there. I mean, my advice is to really expand out, you know, pick new writers, look out there and see who is around and read new stuff.
We've mentioned novels, and I know you have a real encyclopedic knowledge of horror films. So is there any of those that you'd like to
Yes,
recommend?
And I'm going to again try and mention some that may not be as famous as others. I think probably The Wicker Man holds out as being very well known, but I can't recommend the 1973 film enough. It is brilliant, and Christopher Lee's performance is one of his best. It's phenomenal. There's a slightly less known one, I think, called The Blood on Satan's Claws, which again is a folk horror done from the 70s, which has quite a strong atmosphere about it, which is why I like it.
Where would you find these old
they're
ones?
All on, you can get them all on DVD.
Okay.
I'm going to guess you can get them on a lot of the streaming platforms, but I like to have the physical copy of the disc in my hands, really, because I like the artwork as well. I've come to Dog Soldiers. It's a nice werewolf tale, probably my most favourite werewolf story of all, with Sean Pertwee in it. It's a brilliant film. I can't recommend it enough. And I'm going to come to The Ritual, which I came across actually only recently, which is based on a book by Adam Novell about a group of hitchhikers in Sweden, and they decide to take a shortcut for a forest, and probably the least said the
bad
better.
Idea.
Yeah, never a good idea, really. Then I'll come to Suspiria, and make sure you see the 70s version. Dario Argento's version of that holds as one of my most favourite films of all time, along with the last one of my choices, which is The Night of the Demons, which was done in 1950s.
What, no Ghostbusters?
Well, too obvious a pick.
Too obvious.
Funny you should mention that, because I was just going to say that Southsea Cinema and Arts Centre in Southsea are doing a spooky season for the whole of the month of October, and they have running from the 5th right through to the 31st a series of horror and ghost films.
So there's still a bit of time to catch some of them, Nick.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah, so it's literally right through to the end of the month, and they've got From Dusk Till Dawn. That's
good film.
Yeah, Jacob's Ladder.
Yep.
Funny Games. I don't know that one.
No, I haven't. Don't think I've seen that one. But I might come to memory if I saw it.
But they've got sort of all different certificates. So they've got 15, 18s, a couple of PGs. So they're catering for the whole family there, which they do really well. It's a wonderful, small, tiny, intimate space to watch a really spooky film.
It's always nice to get out and see a horror film on the big screen.
This is a lovely, friendly place. The great people there. I've got a lot of time for the Southsea Cinema people.
Well, I suppose I ought to throw a recommendation in as well, because Ginger Snaps, I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah.
It's a good fun twist on a sort of high school movie in a way, isn't it?
It is. And it's got werewolves.
You can't go wrong.
Is it funny as well as...
Well, some bits are. I don't know if they're meant to be.
Pretty gruesome is what comes to my memory.
There
are
some
good
gruesome
film.
Bits, but it's not horrifically gruesome.
2 and 3 weren't that bad either.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
Yeah,
well, do you know how bad I am, how easily scared I am, that even the Disney gingerbread man, when he starts getting eaten, you know, little chunks out of his body, I hate that. That's really, I find that quite scary. There's no hope for me, is there?
The gingerbread man got eaten. I think we'd better stop there, don't you, before we get even sillier. But it has been great fun having you guys in and chatting it. And I bet you I'm really looking forward to the new format on Sundays.
Yes, yes.
It'll be brilliant.
And we're widening it out so that it will be not just books. We're talking about playwriting, novels as well, but lots of different type of artistic writing.
Really.
Yeah. Reviews, theatre reviews. We're covering all sorts of things.
Yeah. And, of course, one of the new things that we're doing is we're going to have listeners' questions, aren't we? I'm interested to see what we come up with.
I'm really excited about this because this is a way of getting in touch with the programme.
Yes.
And we're going to have a listener's question. So if you've got any questions about writing of any sort that you'd like us to either discuss or talk about, then you can send us an email.
Yes, emails. There will be new contact details when we start the new programme. But if you want to get your question in early so you can hear it on the first programme, then the best thing to do is email it to us at bookclub@victoryonline.co.uk. That's bookclub@victoryonline.co.uk. And we will pass it to our dedicated team who will be able to come with answers for you.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to getting those questions. It'll be interesting. Also, if you're a member of a book club and you're reading a book that, you know, that you're discussing at the moment, or you want to tell us about a book club, the new one that's in your area, we'd love to hear from you.
Very much so. Well, that's about all the time we've got, unfortunately. It's been great chatting to you. Looking forward to chatting on Sunday. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in. Thank you, Otto. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
So we'll be back with you on Sunday, the 2nd of November. Until then, keep writing.